This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening, talking about a Miami slot receiver,
yeah, right? Restrepo. Yeah, he's. It's funny, Eric goes, he ran 4.8. Dawson goes, she had tied in. I'm like, no, he's like a 5'8 slot.
He's a slot.
He plays really fast, though.
I like Restrepo. He's a route running machine.
He is a
good
he
change
is
that, of direction.
Yeah. Everything. Yeah.
Okay. Time for the C Note here. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Franklin Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas, that's your Frankels. Yeah, Joe Milton, Patriots backup, a target in the trades for the Cowboys. Brian confirmed that for us at the top of the show. This is real. Okay, I know you see a lot of Cowboys trade rumoruskies out there, and you're like, well, this is speculation, or it's just an opinion. But this is an actual report.
Yeah.
I don't know why the Patriots would want to deal him for what the Cowboys would be offering.
They really don't.
I'd want to hold out for a three if I'm giving a young quarterback who had some success in his rookie year.
Sure.
I could see why the Patriots want to get something, but yeah. What do you think, Brian?
They might be in a situation, though, in New England where you have a new coaching staff, and they're probably not interested in the guy.
Okay.
You know, and maybe they didn't like him when they evaluated him while they were at Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And so so the coaches are walking in like, hey, we really don't feel good about playing with this guy. We don't think he could fit what we're trying to do. So see what you can get for him.
And I mean, they've had a chance to evaluate him for a year.
Yeah.
If they're willing to give him up for a five, which is probably going to do nothing for your organization.
I think the front office wants to fight for him.
Okay.
I don't think the coaching staff is necessarily on board with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
New coaching staff comes in and says, we're really not interested in him as a backup guy. We'd like to do something else.
I know they do have Dobbs as their backup.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking as a young quarterback who had success, if we can get him in a couple of preseason games and he lights it up,
mm-hmm.
we could. I mean, I think trading for a five is probably nothing, you know? And I have a young quarterback asset in my building. We know it was years ago, probably two decades ago now, what the Packers were able to trade Matt Flynn to the Seahawks for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want a three. I want a two. But more than that, I want to know, you know, from you guys, maybe what you think the Cowboys would be thinking here for Milton. Is this evidence they're trying to prospect in those quarterback waters and find a replacement for Dak, who's starting to get dinged too much?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. I think you want to have something with some more upside than Cooper Rush. And so you have to start considering Dak's end, and when is that going to be? Sometime over the next 4 years, but injuries have cut him short. And throwing Cooper Rush out there, not good for business. You're going to probably win one too many games to get the draft pick you really want in a year that you actually suck like this year, but you're not going to win enough to actually get to the postseason. And there's no excitement, at least when you have a young rookie quarterback or like a Joe Milton style quarterback with upside that you haven't seen before. That's getting eyeballs, and that's generating interest when a season may be going sideways on you and Dak gets hurt. Who cares to go watch Cooper Rush again? We've seen this bland story before. Yeah. Go get something that maybe it's going to be a train wreck, but you will be, I mean, all Cowboys fans will be much more interested in watching the Cowboys with Dak goes down and it's a rookie quarterback or a second year quarterback as opposed to Cooper Rush.
Yeah. You're right. That is super boring, and then there's kind of a burst of excitement in the fourth quarter when the determination is made. Did you win or lose?
Exactly.
That's it. Okay, so look out for more Joe Milton content.
But your assessment of a fifth-round pick is dead on.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, if they would,
for what New England's looking for.
If I'm the Cowboys and I get that, I'm like, cool. We got a lotto ticket here. A guy that's got good athleticism, pretty good arm, and at least played in a meaningless Week 18 game and put up really good numbers. Would you do this Micah Parsons trade? It's next in the C note here. Cowboys news of the evening. We go to Katie Drummond talking about it. Send in a proposal for you guys. Dallas would send Micah to said Patriots for the 4th overall pick, the 38th pick, a 5th rounder, and then a 2026 first rounder and 2027 third rounder.
Holy smokes.
So you're getting 2 1s, a 2, a 3, and a 5.
Heck yeah, I would do that. I would absolutely do that.
Talk about backing up the truck.
That means you have a good chance of getting Travis Hunter in this draft.
Well, I was just doing something. I was going to do it at Krusty's Corner because I've got another trade proposal off a mock draft I saw. Remember, I asked you guys last week about would you trade for Travis Hunter?
Right.
It's actually there's a better way of even doing this now off this mock draft.
Cool.
So we could talk about that at 3:40 today.
No way Cowboys actually do trade Micah Parsons, but it's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, the Cowboys are not the type of organization that moves on from star players. And unfortunately, they wait to pay him until the last minute, and they end up resetting the market with these players, and that's exactly what they've done now with Micah Parsons. But yeah, they're not the type of team that is thinking long-term rebuild, losing a star player. They don't have an appetite for that. But this particular scenario, I think you're getting like exactly what you would want in terms of not only you getting multiple first round picks, but one of them is a top 4 pick.
Yeah, but so you're getting 4 and 38. So what are we getting in 26?
Another first round pick.
And what else?
And a 3rd and 27.
Oh, and a 3rd and 27.
So 2 1s, one of those being a top 5 pick.
Yeah.
And
good shot that pick could be very high too. That one at New England could be in the top 5 again.
Yeah. I mean,
depending on what you think about their quarterback and how New England's going to play this year.
You know, I just think with what the Cowboys have added to the defense, you get Diggs and Overshown back with Parsons. I really want to see how this thing could come together. But you're offering 2 1s, a 2 and a 3. Like, there's a price for everything. You know, the Cowboys don't trade star players, but at some point they would.
Yeah, and in this case, you would feel pretty good about the idea that you could get Travis Hunter at 4. So you're trading star player for star player.
What do you feel like the possibility of maybe getting Carter from Penn State?
Yeah, and there's also that's you're getting one of them.
Yeah. I mean, people will tell you, though, that Carter's a bigger pain in the ass than Micah.
Yeah.
The Penn State folk will tell you that.
Okay. Well, I mean, as long as, you know, he plays that well.
Yeah. I mean, if you hate Micah for being a pain in the ass,
this is a bigger pain.
It doesn't have to bother me.
This is potentially a bigger pain in the ass.
I think the only way it really bothers fans is when it gets to the point where a guy could be kicked out of the league, suspended, stuff like that. I mean, sure, fans can get offended or think I'd rather have better leadership, but all that's just personality flair to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing, too, is who says you have to even pick at 4? You could just trade down from there.
Yeah.
And sure could. Now you're just stockpiling high value picks.
I would pick Travis Hunter if that was the case.
I would too.
I would,
assuming he's there at 4. But
it's a little bit more easier for me to trade down from 12, personally, just for what the level of player. But I'd take Travis Hunter.
You are looking at a Hall of Famer for maybe All Pro. I mean, what's Travis Hunter's bust potential there? If you say star for star,
he's 185 pounds. He could bust at corner. He could be a slightly built corner that gets beat up on the outside by people. That's why I think he's probably going to be a wide receiver in this league. I think he's going to have more opportunities to make more big plays as a wide receiver. But I understand why people have him at corner, but he is 100. He's a slightly built corner.
Does he have the length?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's 185 pounds.
Gotcha. Good stuff there from Brian Broaddus, a former Cowboy Scout.
And if he plays both ways, his weight's only going to go down.
Oh, burning calories.
Exhausted.
He gets smaller.
I would love to know the meal plan. Whatever team that gets him really committing to him playing both ways as much as possible. What does that meal plan look like?
You would be envious the way you eat. Yes.
If it was me, I think I'd load up on French toast for all 3 meals, to be honest with you.
Hey, that's a good route. I mean, obviously you got to figure out a way to get the protein in there, but in terms of your entree,
I love that. The egg on the bread, that's quite a bit of protein, isn't it? The egg in the bread?
I think, do you guys know how many grams of protein are in one single egg?
7 or 8?
I believe it's 6.
Okay. So you might have to do a side omelet.
Maybe a side omelet. You could always just protein shake it up with chocolate milk and just all the deliciousness.
Man, so I'm doing Lent again, which is 6 weeks of denying myself delicious treats.
You're on fire.
I think I'm taking it all the way to training camp this year because I built myself in too big of a hole. I got to continue this on. So we're 2.5, almost 3 weeks into this, and I'm imagining the French toast and the donuts and pizza. It's just killing me. I haven't been able to get through that mental breakthrough where I forget about it yet.
This is usually about the time where the hallucinations start to set in and you start having those dreams about different snacks.
My goodness.
But so you're 49, right?
Yeah.
49 years old. So 49 was the year, the line of demarcation where the regulation length of Lent might not be quite enough to make up for the last 12 months.
Yeah. I mean, it was really firing like 4 or 5 years ago, and I got low enough that there was no amount of debauchery that could push me back over 2 bills. But now I keep tipping back over there, and I'm like, this is when it gets like, you know, the doc's like, hey, here's your obese line.
Yeah.
It's below this.
We're going to need you to go on about 6 months of crash course.
Dude, they told me my ideal weight last time I was there was 166 pounds. I was like, how is that humanly possible? So I feel like I would blow away.
Are you two bills?
I'm like 193 right now.
So you're carrying like a third grader on your back.
Carry like 30 extra pounds. Maybe not a third grader, but at least a 3-year-old. Okay, Pro Football Focus did every team signing with the most upside. Brian, who's yours? Is it that edge? Was it Peyton? Something like that.
You know what? I really do like the linebacker from the Bears.
Sanborn
a lot. I think Sanborn's a really a nice signing for the Cowboys for the way that he sees the way the play develops. He gets in. He can finish as a tackler. Like the way he could play, probably play as a Mike and play as a Will. So yeah, I think for a young guy, surprised they just didn't tender him a contract there, but I think he's got big upside there.
Yeah, that's who Pro Football Focus went with, saying slotting him at number 200 on the big board ahead of the 2022 draft. Pro Football Focus was actually high on him in college. Mm-hmm. The Wisconsin product proceeded to go undrafted before landing with the Bears. Long been a sturdy run defender. PFF grade at 70 in 23 and 24 after excelling there in college. Cowboys may be able to offer Sanborn more snaps due to their depleted linebacker room.
He's going to start probably.
Bolstering one of the league's worst run defenses units from a season ago. So you think increased role with the Cowboys, increased production, maybe leading tackler on this team, Brian?
Absolutely, yeah.
David Moore in the morning news writing about the Cowboys running back situation. Headline, Javonte Williams, Miles Sanders won't cede lead role easily if the Cowboys draft a running back. Williams saying, from what they're telling me, they want a competitive room. Everyone go in there and compete and may the best man win.
That's BS.
They want the rookie star to be a star?
Yes, absolutely.
If the rookie couldn't beat Miles Sanders coming out, would you have bust potential on your radar? I mean, Miles Sanders is a pretty solid veteran. It's not going to be easy to beat him out.
I could go all the way down in the fourth round and have a guy that beats Sanders and Williams both out.
Nice.
Yeah, I would be hugely concerned.
I'm that comfortable with this draft. I could go all the way to the fourth round to beat both those guys out.
Yeah, the running back you draft is the guy that needs to be your starter.
Yep.
And it shouldn't be very hard to unseat Williams and Sanders.
Mm-hmm. So if he's struggling in Oxnard preseason, it'll be like, oh boy, it's Miles Sanders time.
That would suck.
That would suck.
Okay. Never want to see Miles Sanders time on the clock.
No, you don't. No, he had that one good year 3 years ago in Philadelphia, but it was so offensive line dependent. It's actually the Exhibit A case if you're going to court for, you know, why the running back doesn't matter very much. It's that, you know, offensive lines can make you look like an all pro. Great tweet from Donnie Fowler over the weekend said, I'm back and I'm better. He's talking about what his run defense, Brian, when you did that film study on Dante Fowler back after 1 year with Washington, he said on Twitter this weekend, I'm better. What does he mean by that?
He's gotten better playing as a run defender is what he has. He's got a better feel for how to play off blocks. It's just not about being just that one-dimensional player where all he was a pass rush guy. You could actually start this guy, and the way that the Commanders were able to do that, you know, before he was a guy that was kind of a rotational player, but he's got more in the tool belt now with his ability to play with his hands, get off blocks, get upfield, chase down the, you know, guys going away, ball coming at him, playing with some strength, been able to get off blocks. Like, he's gotten much better as a run defender, and I think that's where he has to feel pretty good about himself.
All righty, it's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan, the Cowboys news of the evening. Every show at 3:20 here on The Fan. We get you caught up on everything developing. And then we get to Krusty's Corner with Brian Broaddus, daily 3:40. Brian, what's in store for us today?
Yeah, let's talk about some of these quarterbacks. And as I mentioned, I got a trade opportunity. We'll do that next.